Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT photo number 45, recorded February 21st, 2012. Trey Ratcliffe. TWiT photo is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/TWiT photo. It's time for TWiT photo. Leo Laporte here, and normally TWiT photo is hosted by the wonderful Catherine Hall, catherinehall.net. She's still got a great blog and a great site. She's actually out of town today, though. She's at the WPPI conference in Las Vegas. That is the, I believe it stands for Wedding and Portrait Photographers International. And it turns out to be a massively important congress that's held each year in Vegas. And Catherine's going to come back next week with coverage of that show. She's having a panel on portrait photography, and it's going to be really cool. But you know, when Catherine is not here, when the cat's away, the mouse will play, and I brought in my absolute, one, because I have so many favorites, favorite photographers, and one of my favorite people in general, Trey Ratcliffe.
Well, thanks. That's
kind
of you to
say. Hey, Trey. Nice
How
to have you.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm thrilled to have you. We're not going to have a guest. You are the one and only. You've been here on the show many times before,
right?
But never by yourself. And I felt like that was kind of unfair.
We'll have fun. We're not going to be at this cool conference that Catherine's at. Who knows what they're doing there?
I think Do you go to photo conferences? Is that
no? I've never been to one in my entire life. But I'm sure at this one they have some sort of class or seminar on like how to Gaussian blur your mother-in-law. Or who knows what happens at these wedding conventions.
And you don't need that.
No.
You don't want a Gaussian blur your mother-in-law?
No. But I don't do that kind of photography. Nothing wrong with a little Gaussian blur to take a few years off.
Have you ever done
edges.
Portrait photography?
I do. I do all kinds of photography. Once you're a photographer, I think you like all kinds of photography.
Right.
I'm known for a certain style, but I like all kinds. And the reason I don't go to conferences is maybe strange, but I've never been to one. And I feel like, and maybe this is not correct thinking at all, but my philosophy behind it is that I'm afraid that even though I'm an independent thinker in this sort of thing and creative, and I kind of go spiral off into my own way, that if I go and hang out with other photographers, which I do enjoy, I do hangouts and this, but if I go into these situations, that I will accidentally start thinking like everybody else. I think it can be sort of insidious, and it can happen when you don't notice it. Like, for example, you might go into a forum, a photography forum. You know, photographers love to talk. And maybe there's all these threads about color calibration, right? And before, that wasn't even on your radar. But you see all these people talking about it. You go like, oh, color calibration, that must be really important. You know, maybe I should be worried about color calibration.
Let me get a spider quick.
Right. But, you know, that's really maybe a waste of your brain cycles. You should just be off spiraling off on your own, making mistakes, coming to your own. And this is kind of the place I prefer to be.
Trey's website is stuckincustoms.com. And if you haven't been there, you must go there right now, stuckincustoms.com. We'll wait. Go ahead. Because it is just loaded with gorgeous photography. You do every day another photo on there. You're also very active on Google+, Facebook, Twitter. You make sure that the social networks also have new photos every day. I mean, I don't know how you have time to take pictures, to be honest with you. But it is a. In fact, there's a picture of our studio. This is an HDR you did of our studio some time ago that I just love. There's Eileen running the board. This is what you're known for, right? Is HDR first and foremost, right? High dynamic range photography.
Yes, although I think any artist hates to be categorized.
I know, right.
I think I have my own take on HDR. It's a technique that I use in the photo. But I do so much to the photo after I start with the HDR process. That's like step 2 of 10.
So you're actually known for processed photos?
Yeah, really post-processing and taking the mundane and making it feel as intense as it does to some people. Now, I know that not everyone sees the world in the same way. That's sort of an old chestnut, like you see the world differently than me. But I think it's actually true in that the way that you process imagery in your brain The way you've come to know the world is different than the next person. And so, for example, there's a lot of people that really like black and white photography. Like, that is their raison d'etre. That is what defines them. And quite possibly, their brain is just different than mine in that when they see the world, insofar as their brain is a pattern matching device, right? That's what they say intelligence is. It's the ability to quickly recognize and grok patterns. And when they see this stuff and it comes into their parallel processing machine, first they might process contrast, shape, and light, right? And that is something that really speaks to black and white photographers. Where I see the world, and the first thing that I start to process and pattern match on is like color and saturation. I love color.
How interesting. So you don't see shapes. You see them, but you don't see them first.
I don't see them first.
You see color and saturation first.
Right. And, you know, we kind of know how these algorithms work for pattern matching and devices and whatnot. And the brain is not totally different than that.
By the way, Trey, originally a computer programmer and a computer scientist, and we're seeing a little of that come through right now in the kind of rationalistic and thinking about the art of photography.
Well, this whole area is fascinating to me. The idea
it's cognitive science.
Yeah, actually, there's a whole new means of communication now, right? When Gutenberg came out with his marvelous device, we started exchanging the written word, and that's how we were able to mass communicate ideas and concepts with people. And that was really worked its way into Twitter and Facebook and all this sort of stuff. But now, you notice there's almost an evolution in the way we communicate with each other. And we do it through photos.
We're back to pre-literate society in some ways?
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's pre-literate. It's just another almost evolved way of communicating.
We're certainly back to enhancing that and thinking about it. When you go, and I know you love churches and stained glass, and I love them too. And when you go to a medieval church, the entire Bible is really expressed in iconography and pictures and sculpture because it was a preliterate society and only the priests could read the Bible. So they expressed this to the regular person in pictures and images. And you're saying in some ways we're recovering that?
We are. And there's a perfect confluence of technology now with social networks because a picture works for the 6 billion people out there, where if you say something rather prophetic, it might only appeal to the 800 million people that speak English.
Very interesting.
So a photo that goes up, it can be very popular in China, in Japan, in India, in the United States, because we are humans.
Right.
And the same universals appeal to humans around the world.
I hadn't really thought about that, but you're absolutely right. That language can be a barrier to communication.
It can
instead
be.
Of the means of communication.
Yes, that's why American movies and cinematic things and...
Well, and that's why Tumblr and Pinterest maybe are so popular right now as social networks because they're very... And Instagram, I left out one of the keys.
Right.
They're very photo-focused. And I notice even when I use Path that I don't really want to do a text... And I'm only posting to English speaker because they're my friends.
Right.
And I still want to use a picture... Is it that a picture speaks 1,000 words? It's such a trite saying.
Well, in a way, now it speaks really 1,000 unique words for every person that posts it. Because maybe I have a certain style that's developed over time. And you might notice, like when I put something on Path or on Facebook or on Google+, that it has a certain take. Like, this is how I see the world, right? I'm not just saying...
Here's a pretty picture.
Right. This is how I see the world. And so it's very personal. It's almost like I'm writing delicate prose, and I'm coloring it with my own adjectives and my own adverbs, and I have my own style
of composition.
Writing, right, which people have developed over time. People have developed their own style of photography.
Wow.
And people are coming to know this. Everyone is doing photography now, it seems, and they can come and arrive at their own style and share that with the world. And it's a very meaningful way to communicate with your family and your friends.
So I have two things, actually many things I want to do with you, but I have two things I want to do with you when we come back. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Trey Ratcliffe is here, stuckincustoms.com, one of the world's best-known photographers at this point. And it's all happened in just a few years because you have had such a strong voice, and your voice is so widely appreciated by so many people, and you use the social media and the internet so well that you've really become one of the foremost photographers in the world in just 3 or 4 years.
All because of a clerical error.
But I would like to ask you a couple of things. One, how does one develop that voice?
Uh-huh.
I'd love that for all of us to learn a little bit more about doing that. And why don't you pick some pictures that you can show? You have the ability to project on the screen. So pick some images that you think are particularly speak to you and they're particularly good examples of that. So we'll go to Stuck in Customs and take a look at some photos in just a bit.
Okay.
Then I also want to talk maybe about tools of the trade. And you have some very, you have your camera here and some very weird stuff on there. I'd love to talk a little
bit
about
also,
that.
Here's a teaser we could talk about. We have many photo walks coming up.
Oh, good.
On one of them, we're going to be giving away a Lytro, and we're going to be bringing dozens and dozens of Lytros to a huge photo walk. But
right.
that is a you've teaser.
You've used a Lytro.
I know nothing.
All right, when we come back. Wow, that is a good teaser. I like that. Before we do that, though, let me talk a little bit about Audible. .com. I just finished. It's a bittersweet moment when you have a great book and it's done, isn't it? And it's just one of those. You loved being in that world, and that world is over. But boy, what a! And then you look back and say, what a great experience I had. I just finished, and almost all my books are listened to. By the way, I'm a big Audible fan. As I think you are too.
Oh my gosh, I think I might read twice as many books as you on Audible. I consume that stuff voraciously, and I have got a whole litany of suggestions.
Oh, good. Well, we'll get some.
That would sink the Titanic.
I just finished. Have you read the Stephen King's 11/22/63? I just finished that.
No,
and I cried at the end. I think it was Paul Thurrott of our Windows Weekly show said, you know, I'm worried as I read a Stephen King book because sometimes they don't end well. Mm. Not they end poorly, but he's not great at concluding. It's interesting. His son suggested the ending to this book, changed the ending for his son, and it is beautiful, and it is a perfect book all the way around. And it is one of the best performances I've ever heard. Craig Wasson is a well-known actor. He was in Body Double, the Brian De Palma movie. Narrates this with, and he uses accents. He actually uses impressions. There is a guy in this book that sounds just like Kirk Douglas. There's another guy in this book that sounds just like Jimmy Stewart. Hmm. It's a little weird,
right.
But it's great. And there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger in this book as well. But he's just really great with the accents. He's really a beautiful reader. He performs this book. And that's one of the things, and I bet you agree, that I love about Audible. It's not merely reading a book. It is a performance of a book.
It is. These voice actors they get are often amazing.
Oh, incredible.
And, you know, I think I first realized this when I listened to The Alchemist, and it's read
Paul Coelho's book. I haven't listened to this.
Yeah.
It's
worth
a listen.
Get it. It's short and sweet.
And a good read.
It's a light story, but it's very meaningful, especially if you're interested in this artistic side of yourself. That's a great starter.
The Alchemist. P-A-U-L, Paul Coelho. Paulo. He's a Brazilian, I think. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
All right, that's now we're going to tell you how you can get
Jeremy
that for
free. Irons?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I love
he
Jeremy
just
Irons.
He like it's like he vibrates your soul while he's talking to you.
And Web2239 says in our chat room he does Lolita as well on Audible and does a great read.
And I'll make another suggestion with another amazing voice actor. The Name of the Wind.
Another one I haven't read.
Oh, my
gosh.
Now, I make my friends read that if they want to level up in my friendetude.
All right. I want to level up, so I'm going to download that right now. The Name of the Wind.
The Name of the Wind. It's written by Patrick Rothfuss, and Patrick is teaching us all.
What kind of book is it? What is it?
It is, I think he would hate to be categorized.
It's day one of the King Killer Chronicles?
Yeah, there's only two books out now of the trilogy. He's working on the third one right now. He is an amazing just gift from heaven that's floated down.
Is it a fantasy?
Yes, it's sort of medieval fantasy, let's say. And I would hate to say, I'm not even going to say Harry Potter for grown-ups, but it's because that just fills your mind with certain. I'm sorry, Patrick. I never should have said that.
There is a certain serendipity in this because you know what? I had this on my list because yesterday on Google Plus, I read somebody say, "Oh, you got to read this book."
Yeah.
I don't like fantasy books, and it changed my opinion entirely.
You might have think you've read so much fantasy, right?
Right.
You've read The Game of Thrones, which is fabulous.
I'm reading it right now because I want to get ready for HBO's.
Right. You know Lord of the Rings. So you think, oh, I know all these plots. I know swords and sorcery and magic, and I'm tired of it all. How could it possibly be remixed into something new? But The Name of the Wind, it will change you.
I just bought it, so actually, I had a credit. Now, this is the beauty of this, by the way. This is a one-credit book, 27 hours, so this is a great deal. The Paul Coelho is a lot shorter. You might want that, too. I'm going to give you one book. Here's the deal. You go to audiblepodcast.com/twitphoto. And you're going to sign up for the Gold account. That's a book a month. Not nearly enough, but it's a good start. A book a month. And your first month is free. Your first book is free. You can cancel at any time, so you don't have to pay a penny if you cancel before that first month is up. And you get to keep the book forever. So I just literally, I had one credit, the name of the wind is now, you know, what's cool is I use the Audible app. You can, it's on iPhone or Android, and it's in your, now on the phone, I just say download it and I have it. I start listening to it. It is fantastic. I want you to try it. audiblepodcast.com/twitphoto. It's good enough for Trey. It's good enough for everybody. I just bought that book. I'm going to listen to it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
I'm in the middle
reaction.
Of Clash of Kings, so can I finish Clash of Kings?
You can finish that.
Okay.
This will be a nice after-dinner drink for you. I just recommended it to Brian Brushwood.
Schwood's another big Audible guy. You leveled up? If I don't like it,
matrix.
Do I level down?
Yes, it's a risky thing. It's a...
I could go down in your estimation from not liking that book?
There's no way. You're too much of a connoisseur of the finer things in life not to like that book.
P. Brent Young said, I signed up for a chat login just to say amen to you. So he agrees.
And Patrick, once you like that, Patrick Rothfuss was on a recent Trey's Variety Hour. We talked to him all about art and the creative process.
Oh, my God.
And it was a real thrill for me to have someone that I kind of idolize on
this. This is one of the things that's really cool about Trey is that you have parlayed your fame, your success. I know you're modest, and so you're not going to accept this, but your success as a photographer into meeting so many interesting people. And Trey brings them to our network. This is a brand new show on our network, Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's called Trey's Variety Hour. You do Google Hangouts. There is Daniel Suarez, who wrote Demon and Freedom TM. Mm-hmm. I was on with that on that show a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic show. So I don't know if we have Patrick's show on our...
You do.
We do.
Yes, show number 22.
Awesome. So it was 2 weeks ago. Three weeks ago.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's right.
Well, anyway, everybody should listen to that show because it's just fantastic. And
thank you. It's a lot of fun. It's sort of a selfish excuse for me to hang out with interesting people. To me, life is about collecting amazing stories. Some of these stories are just for you. Some of these stories are to share with other people. So I try to get myself into whatever situation I can to create stories, adventures, events. And these variety hours, these little hangouts have been really wonderful occasions to get interesting people, throw them into a room, and we just talk about cameras of the future.
Sometimes it's photography. Last night it was Ron Guerin, the astronaut, talking about his amazing photography. He was a shuttle astronaut. And he was on the ISS, took some amazing stuff, did a time-lapse you've probably all seen of the ISS. How can I develop my voice? I think that this is... You said something very interesting right at the beginning, which is you don't go to conferences because you want to kind of put blinkers on and focus on your own artistic vision. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
Because an artist ultimately has to speak from his own or her own heart. How do I develop that?
Well, you develop it by being counterintuitive and going against what most of society says you should do in order to learn a craft.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, we have this post-World War II hyper-industrialized educational system.
That's right.
Which prepares you to fit a cog in society. So what they've also done is they've industrialized the methods of teaching art, which is a huge disservice for artists because it communicates to people that there is a certain proper way to go about creating the art.
Yep.
And that is it's a very entirely individual thing. And so... Unfortunately, people like, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get started. I don't really understand the manual. I should read the manual.
They read manuals.
Yes. And I think that a lot of these things that say, like, do these 10 steps and you can produce this kind of picture. Do these 5 steps, you can produce. Yep. These are bad because it suggests that there is a step-by-step process to everything. And
so
as
you
we
never
know,
studied photography? You never took classes? You never?
No, I never took classes in photography or read a book in photography.
It's funny because you offer tutorials. It's a great HDR tutorial.
I
and
do.
You have,
I
and
do
you have
teach,
a book.
But I teach in a very unique way.
So
in
you
sort of a master,
try not to be that
I teach
industrial.
In sort of a master apprentice kind of way. Like the same way Titian would learn or the same way an understudy at a concert pianist might learn.
So what do? You push them out into the...
Right. I push them out to make mistakes. I talk a lot about the artistic process, the importance of just kind of going against the grain when it comes to how other people learn things.
So give me an assignment, Sensei. I need to develop my voice.
Yes. Well, the first thing is to understand that inside every human and you is a...
Thanks for
I don't mean
giving
speak,
me my own category. I appreciate
that. I'm trying to speak in the abstract and have it practical to your world,
good.
Right?
Yes.
Is that you understand what is beautiful, right? You know the difference between something that is interesting and something that is banal.
Yes.
And this is something that people may not even realize about themselves. Now.
Or trust.
Or trust.
You right? have to. You have to listen.
Now, the question is how do you know when you're arriving at this beautiful spot for your own art? Well, you will come there in your own time, and it may take you longer than other people. For example, if you go out and take 100 photos of whatever, let's just say you're just walking around the street, say you're looking at everything from parking meters to potted plants to park benches to people, whatever it is, just take pictures of anything, then get back and pick the best five. All right. That simple culling process of throwing out the 95% junk or mistakes or experiments and keeping the five best, there is something in there. There's something in your brain telling you that this was composed better. Your brain knows the golden ratio. It knows.
You don't need to learn that, you're saying.
No, no, no. You know this stuff. And then as you keep going out, say like, oh, I kind of like being outside. You know, I think I kind of like sunsets. I think I'll go take more pictures of sunsets. Then you'll accumulate 100 pictures of sunsets maybe over a few days, and you'll throw out 95 and keep the five best. This rinse and repeat process, everyone can arrive at their own personal beauty, their own style over time. Don't listen to critiques necessarily. If you're really unsure and want some feedback and this sort of thing, critiques can be good. But keep in mind that most people that give critiques, especially on the internet, are complete morons. And you can't tell the difference between a good critique and a bad critique.
It's true. How do you know?
And if you're young or even older and just getting into the sport, you're well-meaning, but you're like a sponge and you soak it all up.
Yeah.
And you can't tell the difference between good advice and bad advice. There's these wonderful examples where they take these classic shots.
They did this recently.
Yes, and they put them on Flickr, and they just get these ridiculous YouTube-ish comments.
And I think it was a famous Henri Bresson,
yeah.
A picture that of a staircase and a blurry bicycle.
Right.
And people, they said, oh, this is terrible composition. Yeah. Why, you're out of focus. What the hell are you thinking?
Right.
This is one of the most famous pictures of all time.
Yeah.
So there is we probably give this advice as well on the show, which is, post on Flickr and get feedback. Enter competitions and get feedback. You think this is a mistake?
Yes. I don't like almost any contest because it's a contest over something that's purely subjective, and it depends on the mood of the judges.
Art is absolutely
now,
subjective.
Huh? If it's a contest with sort of a fun prize, you know, without money attached to it, if it's just sort of for fun and for learning, then contests are great. But once there's prize money or things attached to it, I think it can become a little bit corrupting. The nature of friendly competition within the spirit of cooperation and learning together, those are the best sorts of competitions.
If you do a search on Flickr for Cartier-Bresson, and the title is Mario's Bike, and you can find it. It was submitted to the Delete Me pool after people said, this is terrible. World famous. I mean, this is one of the most famous images of all time.
And who knows how this warps so many young, well-meaning
Imagine
photographers.
Imagine if Bresson had gone to Flickr when he started out and had been stunted by people saying, oh, you got no talent. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's crazy. But if you do have access to like a Zacharias or Catherine Hall
Trey Ratcliffe.
But I will say something on their behalf. I don't think they would mind me saying this, is that I get countless emails asking me to look at their photo.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes it's just for a critique and it's innocent enough. But a lot of times people want my approval. Now, it doesn't matter whether or not I like your photo. I'm just some guy. Right? It does not matter if I like your photo or not. Photographers spend an inordinate amount of time trying to impress other photographers.
That's true.
Which is time wasted.
Yep. I once asked Bruce Dale, who is one of my favorite photographers, National Geographic for years, and just amazing. And I said, "How do you know?" And he said, "It hits you like somebody kicked you in the gut." And that's him listening for that thing that you talked about. You'll know, right?
You'll know. You'll know. And if you do read this book, The Alchemist, it does talk. It is a little bit don't let the new age-iness of it, it's actually practical, right? Because there is this idea of opening yourself up to the flow of the universe.
Right.
And once you are open to it, and if photographers, they may know this, right? You may know that really life is a search for an interesting truth. And occasionally you will take photos and you will get a glimpse of that truth. You'll feel the shape of it, right? And a lot of this evades words. Words get a little slippery around these things, but you know the truth and beauty when you see it. And over time, you can start to see more in the beauty and truth of the universe by opening yourself up to this artistic process. And if you get too engrossed with the science or the tech of it or the optics of it, you'll never execute on the poetry that you want to bring to yourself and bring to others within your world.
So you put yourself out there a lot. You post a lot of pictures, at least daily pictures. Do you just not care at all what people think about them?
Well, there's an interesting duality within humans. And I think it's important to have a balance in this duality. Because on one hand, I put out a photo and I think, oh, this is my baby. I love it. I'm so proud of this photo. It's just very meaningful to me. I don't care what people think of it. You know, I'm a little churlish, like a bitter 11-year-old Twilight girl. I just put it out there. I'm like, I don't care if people like it. It's important to me, right? And then the other half of me is like, oh, my God, I hope people like it.
Good. You know? I'm glad to hear you say that because I feel that way all the time. So you can't have both
exist. Both of these things are very strong. You both really want people to like it, and you don't care if people like it. But it's strange that both of these things can be true, yet they're complete opposites. And I think this balance of the duality is important because as soon as one of those becomes too important for one person, they get a little bit warped or they get too upset at people's feedback or they're too independent, you know. I think having a delicate, sensitive balance within these is important for any artist.
But my first assignment is to hear my voice and to find my inner voice telling me what is true for me.
It's in there. And it may come soon. It may come later in life. You may feel sort of like this gentle throbbing at the base of your skull that you're meant to do great things. You're meant to create some kind of art that is interesting and impactful for you. And it may take a whole liberal arts wide life experience before you're able to synthesize different bits of your life that you thought were hitherto completely unimportant. And at some point, they can come together to create something new.
Did that happen for you? I mean, you were a programmer.
Yes. So I was a programmer. I started various companies. I don't limit my mistakes to any one industry. And then I'm 40 now, the tender 40. And at 35 is when I got my first camera. And if I had gone down this path at an earlier time, I wouldn't have had the life experience. Not that I'm some great sage on a mountaintop dispensing wisdom or anything like this. But you end up with a certain number of mistakes and successes and just life experiences that are totally unique, totally your own. You have your own family. You have your own education. You have your own trauma. Everyone has a very personal life story that they bring into it. And sometimes the richer that life story, the more interesting the art can become.
I often think that's really the only thing we have to offer the world is our unique point of view.
Right.
And it's that duality again, because we're all the same. And you do learn that as you get to know people. There's a certain human commonality, and we're all unique.
Yes.
And so what you bring to the table is this knowledge of our common humanity, but also our inner voice that we are speaking for, that is unique, that is our personal. This is the mountaintop on which I stand, looking out to your mountaintop.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see some pictures.
Okay. We'll look at some pretty.
Pretty pictures.
You heard enough
here
of me just yapping.
This is
about
you spent some time in China and got some great access too. You were able to go to the Forbidden City.
Yes. Well, yes. So this is in China. This is one of the ancient bell towers where they would bang a great gong and call in the elders to meet here. And so I've been to this particular place probably four times, and I've never got a picture because I would walk around. I thought, oh, what do? I don't have any ideas. Because I know it's a beautiful, interesting building. And then finally, on my fourth time, I had this idea with a wide-angle lens and the tuk-tuks. And I just felt like it was a nice treatment of a nice place.
You do a lot of travel photo. And I travel a lot. I think for photographers, travel is a wonderful way to see things in a new with new perspective, a new eye. But one of the things I find is that you go to the Eiffel Tower, you have seen a million images
of the Eiffel Tower. Right. And I don't want to make a million and once, you know? And so it's a real challenge when you're taking pictures of that bell tower, which has been, we've all seen that picture a million times, to find a unique point of view.
Right. It is. And it's not just like, oh, I guess I should lay down on the ground to do something unique.
Although you've right? done that, I know.
Yeah, I mean, all photographers do that. But then you think, you know, it just seems a little bit easy just to lay down on the ground to get a shot, right? Because you're like, oh, I don't see anyone else laying down. I guess I should lay down. Don't be different.
That's
for the
unique.
Sake, don't be different for the sake of being different.
Right.
Just explore weird paths and different ideas right. and forgive yourself. So this is an idea
Iceland,
that I
obviously.
Had. No, this is Yellowstone.
No kidding. Oh.
This is the only private ranch in Yellowstone.
Wow.
It's like the only way to get to this ranch is sort of like this private TED retreat they have every year. And the only way to get there is you have to ride a horse for like 4 hours.
Wow.
So it's completely remote, and it's a nice warm cabin. I like how it sort of tells a story.
You know what I love is the green.
Yes.
That's interesting. Because it is otherwise a kind of dark, moody picture. And then there's this bright green.
Yeah, so...
I love that choice, I think.
I'm quite influenced by painters, and Renoir, who's one of my favorites, says mm-hmm. you should always, you know, have something that's almost like a mistake or something you're not
right.
telling people in there. Because
a little
people
mystery.
Will fill in those gaps with their own experience. This is in Queenstown, New Zealand. This is, I think, one of the most beautiful roads in the world.
You're moving there.
I am moving
Are you
there,
moving
yes.
there because it's so beautiful?
That's one reason. There's many, many reasons, though. That's a big
when,
one.
So you're in Austin right now. We're
yes.
so sad that we're going to lose Trey.
Well, I'm on the internet, so don't worry about it. When you're on the internet, you're everywhere.
When do you make New Zealand your home?
We move out at the end of March. And then, like, we got one of those big 40-foot shipping containers, you know, that we got
yeah,
to put
yeah.
on a boat like we're a Chinese
8 months
exporter.
Later, you're going to get that. You
yeah,
know?
It's going to take 8 weeks. And,
yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. So we'll just travel
It's called
around.
The slow boat to Wellington.
Yeah.
Wow. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And you've been to Norway. We're going to go to Norway, so I'm going to
No,
get
I've
some...
never been to Norway.
You haven't?
I'm jealous of y'all's trip. It's going to be fun.
I'm telling you, you should come. Now, where is this?
This is in Hakone, Japan. Nice,
is there a place you like to take pictures more than others, or is it always...
No, I like every place.
Everywhere is, yeah.
Like
everywhere
every
has something going for it. Yeah.
Yes. This is Burning Man, an awesome place for photography, especially if you're shy about people photography. You can go there and everyone's an exhibitionist. So you can just go hog wild
people,
there.
People expect you to take pictures. In fact, they get mad at you if you're not taking a picture.
Right.
So I do notice not a lot of people photography in your work. Do you not take pictures of people?
No, I do, actually. I don't post a lot of them because people always want more and more landscapes, right? But
that's what you've made your name as a travel photographer, architectural photographer. There's a person.
I do people all the time. I love people photography.
That's a gorgeous shot.
Once you like one kind of photography, you like all kinds of photography.
Right.
And actually, when you're in these places, and this is sort of a dangerous thing, if you're into landscape photography, you can forget to take pictures of people. But the people pictures are just as important for remembering the event because it's something more natural, more organic. It brings you back to that location in sort of a different way. And in so many ways, you do take these pictures for your own purposes.
There's a rare model shot for you. That's not something I've seen a lot from you.
Yeah, I love shooting models, and I do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Actually,
love this.
You know, this
now that's Iceland.
Yeah, I don't really care if I'm shooting a girl or a horse.
As you shouldn't.
Right. It's all interesting. Oh, check this out. This is Hans Zimmer's studio.
Wow.
He's going to be on an upcoming Trey's Variety Hour.
Oh, he is amazing. Of course, the great composer who's... If you hear his music, you know immediately who Hans Zimmer is.
Yeah.
Here's an example of someone who has a very distinct style. There is a Hans Zimmer style,
yes.
and that's probably his expression of him.
And so I have a huge article. I've gotten to be really good friends with this guy, and I'm so honored because he's is a guy that I idolize. I have this long article on the website about my day with Hans Zimmer in his studio, and I've spent a few with him now. But he got into music the same way I got into photography, is that he leapfrogged right to digital. He does everything on a computer, right? And he says he'd be useless doing music the old way. So he composes the whole thing on a computer, and then he goes to the London Symphony
and
Orchestra.
And has them play it.
And has them repeat what he did on the
Let
computer.
Let me see this. This is his studio. That doesn't look like a studio. It looks like a Victorian living room.
Yes, he calls it his little boudoir.
That's where he works.
Yeah, that's his studio.
How luxurious is that?
That's where he composes the music.
There's some stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a great guy. Very inspirational.
How do you get to know all these people? Do they seek you out because of your beautiful images?
Well, you know what happens, and this is kind of unexpected. You mentioned how I'm very vulnerable. This is the key to life, I think. That as you...
You seem to have zero ego.
Oh, I'm very thankful. I can't believe anything, all this good stuff happens to me. I really can't believe it. I'm like a little kid. You know, I get excited every time I get on a plane. I have my toys in the pocket and look out the window. I mean, everything that happens to me, I cannot believe it. I'm honestly so happy.
That's actually good. You preserve your childlike innocence.
Yeah. And so when you open yourself up and you're kind of vulnerable and you make mistakes freely and you talk about your mistakes and then you talk about your successes and not in a humble way, but you just kind of just talk. You're a regular person. What happens is that there's all these people out there, right, that are watching you, and they're always silent, right? You only get comments from like less than 1% of people.
I think that's true.
Right? Yeah. There's a 99% people out there who are drinking all this stuff in, and occasionally you may say something that resonates with them, and then they have a connection with you. And then at some point in the future, maybe a month down the road, maybe 5 years down the road, I will hear from them and say, hey, Trey, you know, I'm doing this thing. Mm. Like, for example, I mentioned in passing that I'd like to rent a house in the Caribbean. Okay. Well, this guy that's been my fan, this silent fan for a really long time, has offered up this multi-million dollar estate for me to stay in. Because I've said personal things in the past that have just resonated with him.
He feels like he knows you.
Yeah, and so now I just kind of have interesting people that come into my life that have, you know, we come together and make something better. So that's kind of happened with Hans Zimmer, with Tom Anderson, who's a good friend. He's around here somewhere. Maybe he'll come sit down.
He's
with
very
us.
Private.
Yeah, he is private.
He's the friend everybody had on MySpace.
Yeah.
The friend everybody had.
Yeah.
The one friend.
No, but I'll tell you a very interesting story about Tom.
Is Tom here?
And I.
He went. Did he come back? He was starving.
There he is.
You want to join us, Tom? Please
I'm gonna tell a little story about us. Okay.
I'll listen to the story before I join.
He says, "I'll listen to the story before I come in." Okay.
So Tom, we're both 40, right?
Yeah.
And it's very hard to make friends with other men when you turn 40. Okay, by the time you turn 40, it's strange, right, for guys. And so I've always been kind of very open and vulnerable, and I share my art, I share what I think about things. And on Google Plus, he started doing the same thing. And, you know,
he's a budding photographer.
Right. And so, you know, of course, he did MySpace, and he's like Zuckerberg in a way, in that you can't say anything to the press when you're in that position.
Oh, God,
because
no.
It's the center. Anything could be misinterpreted.
Right.
So he just was very quiet. And so he started to open up a little bit on Google Plus. And then I think I sent him a note. He wrote a very nice article comparing. It's about Google Plus or Twitter or something. And he said some very insightful,
oh, yeah, I remember that.
It
was a great
things.
Article, yeah.
And so I sent him a note. I said, this was very insightful. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated it. And then I mentioned that I'm coming to L.A. for something. He said, oh, why don't you, maybe we could meet. And we got together. Like at 6 p.m. at some Thai place. Then we talked all the way for like 12 hours till 6 a.m. sitting outside this cafe. And, you know, we've really gotten to be friends. And now we travel around the world together and all sorts of things. And it's only because we've just been open and sharing. And it's really a nice way to live because you don't have to pretend with people, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to impress your friends. You just kind of be. And it's tied into an entire sort of artistic life, not to get too zen or anything, but really it is living in a way, creating stories and adventures for yourself. And as you open yourself up, maybe immediately good stuff may not happen to you, but it will over time. It is really the natural way to be human, I think.
You're kind of turning into the Yoda of photography, you realize
well,
that.
I don't mean to be. I mean, people ask why, you know, why are you happy or how do you do what you
why
do?
Why are you happy? Are you shouldn't be happy.
So I just talk about this stuff.
Do you ever feel, and I think most people feel this way, and I'm just curious, do you ever feel like a fraud, like, oh, they're just full of it, then I'm just fooling them? No, you don't feel that way, huh?
No.
That's interesting. something wrong with you, but that's okay. Let's.
I'm shocked that people are so
people
nice
feel
to
that
me,
way.
Right? People say such nice
well,
things
that's,
to me.
That's
I'm
a form of
shocked,
that.
And yeah. A lot of times I do. Sometimes I'm a regular guy. I feel bad about myself a lot. And
yeah, there you go. That's all I'm asking.
And then as soon as I feel bad about myself. I'm sure it's the same way with you. You just open up your email and you see these really nice things. You go, oh, I guess I'm not that bad of a person after all. You know, and then you feel good about yourself again.
You have some funny. I just want to see some of the things. You've got, it looks like a lens cap that is. That's what I'm talking about here.
Look at this thing.
So, and I think this is well known, so I'm not saying anything that people haven't already heard, that you're at Nikon. You love your D3. X, S,
I do.
What is
this
it?
Is a D3X.
Yeah.
I have no formal relationship with Nikon, by the way.
That is kind of...
They give me nothing for free.
Kind of... I love the lens cap.
Even though they should.
Does that perform any function, that gear on the front there?
No, it's just purely decorative, like a bird of paradise.
It's beautiful. And then what is the thing on top? Is that your flash?
No, this is a time travel green cube of chronological mystery.
So for those who say, how does Trey take such great pictures? I just got to tell you, it's not the photographer. It's that weird crap on his camera. Just so you know, if you had that, you'd be just as good.
No, I don't always decorate my camera up. I just did this for fun today,
I think that's
of course.
Cool.
It's not
I love it.
Terribly practical. It is a level, though, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
so
a
it
level.
Has some function. Yeah. It's a spirit level.
No, there's a gal that steampunked up this thing for me.
I love it.
And she'll steampunk up your camera.
Are you going to... Did you get a ticket for Burning Man this year? Because isn't it a lottery?
I applied for 3 tickets and I only got 1.
Ah, that
it's
was
been,
smart.
People are very upset because there's a lot of people trying to go that they can't get in.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's a pure lottery. There's no...
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any... You know, I contacted all my... I
you
friends at the
pull,
press.
You tried to pull
it didn't
strings.
Help.
Couldn't do it.
I'll try. You know, I'm not above trying for special treatment. But no, it didn't help at all in this case.
So who's coming up on Trey's Variety Hour in a few? You've had some amazing... Sergey Brin joined you like a couple of weeks ago.
Well, he's a serious photographer.
I've seen some of his stuff on Google+.
You know, we had that episode, we were talking about the death of the DSLR. Because
You wrote a very interesting article. I'm glad you brought that up, in which you said... that these new mirrorless designs, like the Micro Four Thirds, and there's some newer stuff that's actually bigger sensor, APS-C, are going to replace DSLRs.
Yes. You know, the reason that these DSLRs are so big is not because they're necessarily awesome. They've got to have a big area so that this mirror can flip up and down in this old Da Vinci-esque device kind of way.
It is, right? A little Rube Goldberg. Yeah. So it's how a DSLR works. You look through the viewfinder, then the mirror redirects your view through the lens, single lens reflex. But we want that because we're seeing what the camera's seeing.
Yeah, you're seeing what the camera's seeing.
So how do you see that on a...
Well, the new ones, they do have electronic viewfinders.
They have taps, video taps, which I hate. It looks crappy.
Well... You should try some of the newer ones.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of us have a bad idea of electronic viewfinders because they're really laggy.
They're low pixel count. They just...
Yeah, but they're getting better and better and better.
Okay.
And sometimes they have a little bit of problem with dynamic range. Like if it's a really bright situation, it may not be perfectly clear.
What kind do you like? I mean, I noticed you're still using an SLR.
Yeah, I'm going to probably... When I wrote that article, people thought, oh, Trace said DSLRs are dead. I didn't say they're dead. I said they're dying.
They're about to be replaced by newer technology.
They're being,
I think that's a safe
and
bet.
I didn't really plan on buying any other DSLR type equipment.
This is your last DSLR, you think?
Well, I found a loophole in what I said.
The
D800. Because the D800, I had to come up with a loophole. But the thing is, okay, look at this. This is ridiculous.
So you have ordered a D800, I take it.
Well, I pre-ordered
36 megapixels.
Yeah. But see, the thing is this... So this is a D3X or whatever. It's like $8,000.
Right. Ridiculous.
Right.
And it's huge. That thing weighs a ton, even without the
It's got its own weather system. And so the D800 is only like $3,000. It's less than half price. So when I said I would never buy another DSLR, buying indicates that you're going to lose money on the transaction. So I can sell this maybe for half price and still make $1,000 and have a better camera. So that's my loophole. That's my loophole.
So you are excited about the D800?
Yeah, it's going to be good. But that may be the end of the DSLRs because I think that Sony is going to come out with something amazing
later
this year.
These NEXs are very interesting. The NEX-7, which is almost as expensive.
Yeah, and I think in that hangout, Sergey was talking about the NEX-5. You can do...
Once that's a middle ground that's actually pretty good, I think. Yeah.
Right.
APS-C size sensor. So you're not full frame, but you're still pretty big sensor.
Right. Right. So this is just an area to look out for because these things are going to take over.
Tell us about the Lytro.
Ah, well, I'm not going to talk much about the Lytro other than to say we're having a photo walk.
You're not going to say a thing, are you?
No, I'm very good. I'm the best secret keeper in the world. I really am.
You have used one, though.
I don't know.
This is the camera, for those who don't know, that it allows you to change the focus after you take the shot. So here, Brian is showing us, you can focus on that ball in the foreground or in the background. And it does it, I have to say, in my opinion, in a somewhat kludgy way by having basically multiple images, right?
Well, I think...
And you have to use a special player. You can't, you know, you have to embed this in a player. You can't...
Yeah, I don't know if that's really a good way to describe the tech behind it. These are called these light field cameras. And who knows the final iteration of how these cameras will make it into consumer goods.
Right.
But if you come on this photo walk, we're going to have dozens and dozens of them out there for everyone to play with. And we're going to be giving away a freebie. This is in Monterey. By the way, Lytro doesn't pay me to say any of this stuff or anything. I'm not...
Well, they're giving you some cameras.
You should always be suspicious.
Wait a minute.
People.
They're giving you some cameras. You're buying these?
They haven't given me anything.
You're going to buy these cameras to give to people?
No, Lytro is going to give them away.
Thank you.
Not me. They're not. They haven't given me anything.
Come
anyway,
on,
always
Trey.
Be suspicious
that,
when people
that counts
buy this stuff.
As a Lytro endorsement.
Well...
I'm sorry. They're giving you something to give away.
They're giving it away.
Okay, fine.
I'm not making any money off it. The photo walk is free. I'm having the photo walk anyway. Anyway, right. So it's in Monterey, April 12th at 9:30
a.m. I wish I could get you to say something about this, whether you like this camera or not. You won't say anything.
Well, it's a dark period.
It feels
right
like a big fat gimmick to me, but okay.
Well, it's a good question. It's a valid point. Is it a gimmicky? Is it a camera
yes,
that you can
gimmick.
Only use in a given situation?
Yes.
For a close-up type shot? Maybe.
And it's the size of a kaleidoscope. It's like you're carrying a kaleidoscope around, a square kaleidoscope with it.
Well, someone like me is not going to replace this.
No.
Right?
No.
But I'm not a typical photographer.
Right. And I will recognize that this is early days, and if they can get this in a smaller form factor.
Right.
Somebody said every camera at some point will be able to do this. I do believe that at some point some camera will let you change focus. Already you could change white balance, right? It's just a matter of time before you can change the selective focus in the camera, selective exposure.
Yeah.
You'll be able to make choices after you make the image. But you know what? Most photographers, and I'm sure you're in this, try to get the picture right the first time. With the appropriate focus.
They do, of course. There's something to be said for that.
Yes.
There's the skill of the art of it.
Yes.
But remember, we may be moving into a world where you don't even have to anymore.
You're
right?
Just wearing it.
When this light field tech, right, of which this Lytro is the first iteration, when this light field tech gets into almost every camera, you can just sort of point it in the general direction of something that's interesting.
Right.
And then in post, you can go pick out what is the most interesting thing to show to somebody. Now, That's
nice. That's useful.
Maybe, does that feel dirty? I don't know.
It doesn't feel dirty.
Is that the way things are going?
But it's not what you're doing.
No.
We talked on the Trey's Variety Hour a couple of weeks ago about what an artist does is, in some sense, curate.
Right.
Take experience and say that. Look at that and look at that. A storyteller, a photographer, a painter.
Right.
And so, really, there's some intentionality going into creating art.
Yes.
That the Lytro is for unintentional photography.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how people use the new tech.
I'd love to see the images from your photo walk, actually.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see.
It's an interesting thing, though.
So when is that, and how can people get involved?
Do you know Google Schemer, by chance?
I have heard of it.
So Google Schemer is sort of it's a fun thing where you can go find stuff to do in the real world. Okay. So we put our photo walks on there. Like, we have a photo walk in L.A.,
and
South by Southwest, and we have a photo walk at this Monterey one.
So what is it? Is it schemer.google.com?
Yeah.
Google.com/schemer.
Well, let me show you Schemer here. Actually, this is a little bit of an aside, but it's kind of neat. Let me go to my Google Schemer.
And somebody in the chat room pointed out, well, if you shoot raw, that's kind of the same idea, because you don't have to think about the white balance until later.
Yeah, raw has a lot of light information.
Right.
What about just a different raw that has a lot of focus information?
Right.
What's the difference?
Right.
That's
a good point.
Yeah.
So we'll say this is Focus Raw.
Yeah, so this is Google Schemer. I don't know if people can see my screen or not. There's on my website.
Is this new? I've never played with this.
It's private. It's beta only. Maybe
it's private.
Showing this.
Wow.
But I have an invite link that anyone can get in. Like, for example, you just come up with ideas. Like, I don't know.
I have a scheme. I would like to do a photo walk.
Travel around the world with my camera, right? And then so 379 people want to do this.
Wow.
Right? And it's all tied into Google Plus and stuff. And people can leave comments. So you kind of inspire people to do things.
Where do I I can get an invite from you at stuckincustoms.com?
Yes. If you go to Stuck in Customs today, I have
going
a
there.
Link.
You know, you ladies RSVP. And gentlemen, you know somebody. His name is Trey Radcliffe.
Well, anybody in Skiver can invite anybody else in, so there's nothing really special about me. But yeah, if you go to the blog today, you will see there is a link to Google Skiver. Sorry, it's coming up a little slow. Where you can RSVP for the event.
That's us, by the way. We have some issues with our Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi's
I apologize.
A little slow right there. Don't worry about it. But anyway, you can RSVP for the event. Like we have, I think, 300 or 400 people coming to the Austin one. The LA one will be big, and this.
So you're saying that I have to have Skiver
to RSVP
to go to this event.
Yes, but okay. It's free and it's kind of
and
fun
but thing. Save the date, March 12th.
April 12th. Yes.
All right.
April 12th.
And don't forget, every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, Trey Radcliffe does a hangout. That
yes.
We call Trey's Variety. He calls Trey's Variety Hour. We broadcast that. We also make it available as a podcast. And we only have the last few because you're up to episode 24 now.
That's right. You've been broadcasting since episode 20.
So we have a few, but
yes.
More to come.
More to come.
And I'm very grateful because Trey actually brought this to us. And I was so honored
it's
thrilled.
It's fun.
That you would let us do this. And now I can't wait. I'm going to get an invite to Skiver too.
Yeah, I love this show. Twit Photo is a great show.
It is
so
a great show.
So many other great shows.
Thank you.
I'm honored and proud to be part of the
Catherine
network.
Catherine will be back next week, catherinehall.net. You can find out what she's doing at WPPI, and I think next week will be our WPPI show. Some really big photographers there. Should be a lot of fun. Catherine will have interviews, and we'll also have video of the panel she's doing at WPPI. So you don't have to be there. You can just be a part of the show this way. And we will be back then. So that's next Tuesday at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on twit.tv. Downloads available. We do have all of these shows available on our website, twit.tv, and everywhere podcasts are. Trey is at stuckincustoms.com.
Yes, sir.
And anything else I should tell the world about?
Well, I'll go ahead and plug one of our free apps called Stuck on Earth.
We showed that on MacBreak Weekly. It is so cool.
And we
you said there was a Easter egg for me personally.
Well, she says your name.
But she says personal. Everybody's name.
Well, not everybody's. Not everybody's.
Not everybody's name. If your name is Ong Chi, it won't say that.
No, she won't do that.
No. But Liz, it said Liz's name. John, it said his name.
Yeah.
Brian, it said his name.
We've got big things coming.
Doesn't say Tom. Isn't that weird? You'd think. No, just kidding. Good. More things coming. So everybody should download that. It's in the App Store. It's called
Stuck on Earth.
Stuck on Earth.
Yes, sir.
There it is. And, of course, he's got some other apps. In fact, I highly recommend you check out 100 Cameras in One. It is, it's got filters and stuff.
Yes.
Stuff.
It's a very nice
100
app.
Filters.
Although, I'll be frank and say, if you're a hardcore photographer, it may not be for you. This is more for just the casual person that likes. You know, there's a lot of hardcore photographers that don't like Instagram, for example.
Well, and I think that the secret to Instagram's success was their filters. Because it made everybody's picture look fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we have our own take on the filters, which is very unique.
And there's a reason why Camera Plus, Lisa's app, has sold 6 million copies. Yeah. People love filters. I mean, that's really what Camera Plus is all about, right?
We just passed 1 million downloads, by the
Congratulations.
Way.
Congratulations. On Camera 100 Cameras in One?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're doing an Android version or no?
Yes, we are.
A Samsung branded.
Yes, but we get the rights back in a couple months.
Good.
And it'll be in the regular Android store.
Good. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's great to have you, Trey. We never get enough time with Trey. So many things we could talk about.
Thank you.
Don't move to New Zealand. Just move to Petaluma. Petaluma is the New Zealand of Northern California. You know
it
that,
is.
Right?
No, I didn't know.
If you moved here,
driving into town.
Welcome.
Yeah.
To the New Zealand of Northern California.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us. TNT is coming up next. Tech News Today with Tom Merritt, Ayaz Akhtar, and the lovely Sarah Lane. Please stay tuned. And Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on Twit Photo.